Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the prophets of cancer when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, to incompetence, to incapacity. We've now been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals, you know, professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs, doctors to manage and treat our health problems, and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, then write to us and ask for our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. It may not be for you. If it isn't, it won't cost you anything to find out. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and go to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there in the privacy of your own home, and I don't have to send you a plain brown envelope. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of the prophets of cancer. The prophets of cancer. $500 billion a year industry. $500 billion a year. It's as big as the entire educational system in America. So you just take all of the teachers of America. This is the public school system now, not the homeschools, not the parochial schools. Just the biggie over here, the national public school system in all of our 50 states and all of our outlying territories and so on, we spend in excess of $500 billion a year on public education. We're spending $500 billion a year on national defense. We spend more money on national defense here in the United States than the other 209 countries in the world combined. So you take all of the military expenditures of Russia and China and North Korea and Iran and Israel, you know, all the countries that we think about as being, you know, the bad guys in the world who are spending a lot of money on war and preparations for war. Well, we Americans spend all of that and more than every country in the world. Now, that's never been done before in the history of the world. So again, we're number one in that regard. Now, that's a lot of money, $500 billion a year. It's half a trillion dollars a year. And then we spend that much on cancer every year here in the United States. That's the cancer research, cancer treatment, cancer this, cancer that. Cancer is sold. It's an infomercial, in case you didn't know. An infomercial, that's the advertisement that has purpose behind it. There's a channel here in the United States for the rest of you people around the world, and this channel just sells stuff. It is just a commercial. Everything 24/7 on this one channel is just selling stuff. And they call those infomercials. And they're actually pretty entertaining. They have very entertaining sales pitches for everything you can imagine, whether it's a hamburger or it's a string of pearls from Zales Jewelry. They're selling that. Well, that's what the way they sell cancer here in the United States. So they don't come out with an ad that says, you know, call today and order one. What they do is they give you information. Now, this information comes in a way that it sounds like that it's maybe a travel log or it's a PBS special. Now, you've probably seen some PBS specials on cancer, PBS special, you know, on the economy, or the PBS special on global warming or something like that. Those, in fact, are infomercials. They are selling you on global warming. The purpose for the program is to sell you on the idea that the world is getting hot and we got to do something about it. You don't have to tear off a coupon. You don't have to send anything in. You don't write a check and send any money. What they want is your political support. They'll take care of passing the legislation. They'll take care of charging you the appropriate fees when they enact the law. In this country, it's called cap and trade. Cancer is sold just exactly that way. And every night on the news with Katie Couric, they have a little segment on there, a little infomercial on cancer. In fact, the three networks here in the United States, they have various correspondents. They'll have an economics correspondent like PBS and the Lehrer News Hour. His name is Paul Salmon. And he's their economics correspondent. And then they've got a health correspondent. And what happens is that when they want to do a little piece on health, then they bring in this special correspondent. And this one is an expert. You know, they look, they pose, they sound like, they act like. They got one on the news here. Her name is Bartiromo. And she's a young woman, probably 30, 35 years old. She's the stock market expert. And when the stock market was tanking, you know, you could see that she was visibly disturbed. She really didn't know what the hell she was talking about, and she didn't know what the hell to say next. Now, when the market is like it is today, acting fairly normal, why, she comes on, and she's very exuberant, and she's touting the market, and the market is up 15 points today on news that. And then she goes on, she puts on her, you know, 2 minutes of infomercial selling stocks. So Americans are very, very familiar with being sold. But the modality by which these sales are being made are sheer genius. And we've been introduced here to a couple of characters here over time who introduced this concept into America. Who said, hey, look, let's just create this one great big infomercial. And Americans today are used to it. When we watch the news, for instance, here, there's 30-minute newscast. 22 minutes of it is news, and is it 22 minutes or is it 18 minutes that's news? And about 10 or 12 minutes, you know, about 10 minutes, about one-third of the newscast is nothing but information or infomercials or advertisements. And the same thing is true. I can't watch a movie on television. First of all, it takes about 3 or 4 hours to put on a two-hour movie because they have about 2 hours worth of commercials. And they'll put on 15 minutes of movie, and then all of a sudden we get 2 to 4 minutes worth of commercials, and they put on 15 minutes worth of movie, and then it's 2 to 4 minutes worth of commercials. It drives me nuts. So I don't watch movies on television at all. I go out and buy the movie and bring it home, stick it on my DVD and play it so I can sit there and watch it. And then when you buy the movie, guess what? The first 15 minutes of it is advertisements selling more movies. So Americans are really advertised to death. But over time, see, this propaganda works. Listen, it works. And it was Pope Innocent the Second or Third, I think it was. Maybe it's Pope Innocent the 11th, I don't know. But anyway, back about 1100, 1200 A.D., you know, about 800-900 years ago, he said, "You give me a child until he's 7 years old, he'll be a Catholic for life." Fits right into the biblical proverb that says, "Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." All right, that's what we call, in modern parlance, we call that brainwashing. Brainwashing. And it's a phenomenon built right into us by our Creator Himself. That if you hear something over and over and over, like my Aunt Bessie, "You wash your elbows, you wash your elbows, you wash your elbows, you wash your neck, you wash your neck, you wash your hands, you wash your elbows, you wash your neck." And I never could figure out. I go to the table, I'm going to sit down and eat. Where in the hell is my elbows and neck going to get into my food? My hands, I can see that. I might lick my fingers, but my elbows? But, you know, she kept after. Today, I can't sit down at the dinner table until I've washed my elbows and neck. I'm programmed. It's the way life is. All right, so Hitler made this observation. He says, if you tell a lie big enough, long enough, over and over again, people will believe it. And that's true. And that's what advertising is all about. We just keep telling you over and over and over and over again. Until pretty soon it just blocks out all reason, logic, and common sense. And this cancer is no exception. See, everybody knows that everything that's been done in cancer is a total failure. There isn't one thing in cancer that isn't a failure. And they have sold it. And they take their failures and they tout those as being successes. For instance, I mentioned the other day that 3% of the radiation or radium cases actually survive. And they say, see, radium, cure to cancer. Well, we don't know if it's curing the cancer or the patient would have survived anyway. First of all, we know that 6% of cancer patients, when you do nothing at all, the cancer just goes away. Your immune system takes care of it. They call it spontaneous remission. Nobody knows why your body spontaneously wards off the cancer and cures you or heals you, but it does. And we know how much of the time it does it, 6%. So they don't come out and tell you that. Radiation therapy now is 3% of the time. 3%. I mean, 100 patients come in here, 97 of them die, 3 of them survive, and they tout radiation as being one of the 3 cures. And I said, well, let's give it to them, you know. And we'll give them spontaneous remission ought to be on the list over here. And we'll just rack that one up for God Himself. And after all, 6% do survive. Then I pointed out to you that 6%, not 6%, it's people that don't do anything when they're diagnosed with cancer live for 6 years. That's a year more than the American Cancer Society says is a success. And get this, they tell you that if you survive for 5 years, that you're cured. If you die in the 6th, 7th, or 8th year, that's okay. What the hell kind of nonsense is this? But see, we've been propagandized for so long. We actually believe our own press reports. I've often said that of Lyndon Johnson. Johnson lied so much about the Vietnam War that he actually got to the point where he was believing his own press releases. And I think that's probably what happened to Ted Kennedy. Now, Kennedy's part and parcel of this. He just died here the other day. Of brain cancer. Hubert Humphrey, he was a part of this whole conspiracy. I mean, here's a couple of guys, they know full well that cancer's a fraud, and that this is being done, that all this money being voted by the Congress for cancer research and all, they all know that that's phony as a $3 bill. But they don't know what else to do about it. See, cancer is incurable. Now, all of us know that, don't we? Cancer is incurable. And once you've come to that conclusion, well, then it's a self-sustaining or a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'm just here to tell you cancer is curable. There are 14 cures to cancer, and let's take a look at what those are. Nobel Prize winner James Watson declared at a cancer symposium at MIT that the American public has been sold a nasty bill of goods about cancer. A soporific orgy. I don't know what soporific means, but he said it was a soporific orgy, as reported in the New York Times on March 9, 1975. In January of 1975, Dr. Charles C. Edwards, a researcher, wrote to the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare that the war on cancer was politically motivated and was based on spending money. The prominent French oncologist, Dr. Lucien Israel, said, "Radium is an unproven method in many cases. Indeed, there have been no conclusive trials on radiation therapy. Israel terms it a palliative for relief of pain, temporary in nature." He also points out that the medical community has been thrown into confusion by recent studies which have shown that metastases may be more frequent in cases that have received radiation. In short, the radiation increases the spread of cancer. It has long been known that cutting into a tumor causes it to spread throughout the body. The exploratory operation to see if you have cancer usually guarantees that it will be fatal. So, you know, the doctor says, well, we need to operate to confirm our suspicions that you have cancer. So they used to, I don't know if they do it so much anymore, but they used to operate, and so they cut you open, and yep, that just almost guaranteed that you're going to die from it. Now, if your immune system is, in fact, the vehicle to cure the illnesses of your body, then a strong immune system is what you need to develop. And these cut, burn, and poison programs actually impair your immune system. Now, remember, we talked about this a little earlier. Your immune system is made up of about 10 or 12 organs. You know, things like your tonsils and adenoids, lymph nodes, your lymph system, appendix, thyroid. These are part and parcel with your bone marrow, that's a node, work together to cast out bacteria, viruses, ward off cancer cells. And what happens is you starve it, you know, you're starving your body, it gets weak. Or you poison your body, you know, you smoke, you drink, you breathe air in Los Angeles or someplace. This weakens your immune system, and then for whatever reason you come down with cancer, or you may have some other opportunistic disease come in, and then your immune system can't ward it off, and then you ultimately die from it. So you're ultimately going to die from starvation or from toxicity. And the oncologists, you know, the cancer doctors, they don't do anything about food, they don't do anything about the toxicity. What caused this cancer? Oh, I smoke 2 packs a day, and I've got lung cancer. Oh, okay. Well, just keep on smoking, no problem. Okay, well, if you'd stop smoking, that would be a step in the right direction, because now you've stopped poisoning your body. Now, if we could concentrate on getting the poison out of your body, chelating that poison out of your body, then if we could concentrate on building your immune system, you know, with garlic and echinacea and so on, to give your immune system a jump start so that it could go to work on those tumors in your body, you know, it has worked for other people. Have you ever thought about maybe that could work for you? Now, most people are so attuned to the infomercials on cancer that they don't even think about that. That never enters their mind. And so they run right to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, you have 3 treatments. You're going to cut, burn, or poison. That works 37% of the time. 63% of the time, you're going to die. All right. So, and the 37% of the time that it works for up to 5 years. From then on, you know, it's every man for himself. Now, nevertheless, the American Cancer Society continues to back all of these losing methods of treating cancer. For 20 years, it's patently repeated its famous cancer 7 warning signals, which ignore chemicals in the environment and discounts the FDA warnings about coal tar and hair dyes. In 1976, the ACS released a press communication, urgent message, mammography, benefits and risks. Dr. John Baylor of the Harvard School of Public Health and editor of the prestigious NCI Cancer Journal was horrified, and he wrote a letter to the acting director of the NCI, Dr. Guy Newell. I've just become aware of a problem that has the seeds of a major disaster. The urgent message itself is plain hogwash. The statement is seriously faulty and hence represents a grave danger to that bulk of women who should avoid mammography. Nevertheless, the ACS flyer went out to every hospital in New York and to 15,000 doctors. Despite the known risks of exposing women to repeated x-rays, the ACS still emphasizes annual mammographies as one of its most vaunted techniques for controlling cancer. Jane Brody's book, You Can Fight Cancer and Win, recommends this and many other ACS goals. The American Cancer Society also stands firmly behind radical mastectomy, the total removal of the breast in cases of women's breast cancer. This technique is frowned upon as unusually brutal and ineffective. It has long been abandoned in most European countries, including England, France, and the Scandinavian countries, and Canada. In 1975, when Rose Kuttner published her definitive work, Breast Cancer, which was critical of radical mastectomy, the ACS refused to list or to recommend it. It was Elmer Bobst's goal to make the National Cancer Institute autonomous, much as the Federal Reserve System is autonomous. He was able to achieve this goal because of his long-standing personal connection with President Richard Nixon. As the mastermind of the American Cancer Society, he really intended it to become autonomous from Washington influence, while making it completely subservient to the American Cancer Society from New York. Representative David Obey, a Democrat of Wisconsin, noted that the American Cancer Society wants to keep the National Cancer Institute strong in bankroll and weak in staff so that it can direct its spending without too much interference. A very astute observation. One of its directors is Mary Lasker, who 36 years after Albert Lasker's death is still described by Washington observers as the most powerful woman in American medicine. The National Institute of Health bought the Visitation Convent in Bethesda from the Catholic Church for $4.4 million. It now houses the Mary Lasker Center. Through her access to funding, the American Cancer Society maintains full-time lobbyists in Washington, headed by Colonel Luke Quinn and aided by Mike Gorman. The Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association with Washington lobbyist Lloyd Cutler, who also works with Mary Lasker. Whatever else may be said of the American Cancer Society, there can be no doubt that it remains well insulated against reality. A leading Washington reporter, Daniel S. Greenberg, wrote in the Columbia Journalism Review in 1975 that cancer rates for most types of cancer had been static since the 1950s. Some rates actually declined, probably because of the use of toxic chemotherapy increased the death rate. One researcher told Greenberg there had been little improvement since 1945. Dr. Frank Rauscher challenged Greenberg at the 1975 ACS Science Writers Seminar, claiming that these figures were out of date. However, when the new figures were released, they upheld Greenberg's findings. This rings hollow against the annual promises of breakthroughs. When the 2.5 million volunteers swarm across America shaking their tin cans and begging money for the rich, they have been making these same promises and raising these same amounts of money or more for more than 50 years. Lawrence Rockefeller noted in Reader's Digest in February 1957 an exultant comment. He said, "There is, for the first time, a scent of ultimate victory in the air," as he described progress against cancer. Okay, let's pause right here for a moment. How many times have you heard that there is a sense of victory in the air? I mean, hell, it's the mantra of the American Cancer Society. If you just keep giving us money, and if we just keep throwing this money at the cancer problem, we're going to win. And they always hold it out next year. You know, it's next year. It's just right around the corner. It's right close. It's right at hand. And so this has been going on, you know, for 100 years, 50 years. It's really been propagandized. And the answer to all of this is there's never going to be a cure to cancer, at least not from the American Cancer Society. Now, as I pointed out, there's 14. We'll get at those here in a few minutes. Now, one physician, Dr. Cecil Pittard, was informed that he had terminal cancer and that he had only a few weeks to live. Well, the Knoxville, Tennessee physician was diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic as having lymphoma. Lymphatic cancer results because the body is no longer able to detoxify or cleanse itself. Tonsillectomies often initiate a deterioration of the lymphatic system, resulting in lymph gland inflammation and eventually lymphatic cancer. So with nothing to lose, Dr. Pittard experimented on himself with the anti-flu bacterial antigen Staphylococcus lysate and sodium butyrate, a fatty acid food found in milk and butter. He soon found that he had been completely cured. Nevertheless, the cancer establishment ignored his report and became even more vociferous in its campaign against unproven remedies. In most cases, like Dr. Pittard's, the cancer profiteers sneer that it probably was misdiagnosed and he never had cancer to start with, or that he had a spontaneous remission, which is their most oft repeated response. It would seem that they would show some interest in how to obtain a spontaneous remission, because they have now been talking about it for half a century, and yet we've heard nothing from the $70 million a year research program at Sloan Kettering about spontaneous remission. Hey, let's stop and think about this for a second. Listen to the term unproven remedies. Unproven remedies. You go to the oncologists and the American Cancer Society and you say, "Do you have a cure for cancer?" And they say, "No." Well, do you have a treatment for cancer? Yes. Do you know what causes cancer? No. Well, now, if you don't know what causes cancer, and you don't know, and you admit that it's incurable, then shouldn't we be experimenting with these unproven remedies? You know, I'm a businessman, and let's suppose that we have a production problem down in the mill, and we have a routine down in the mill. We have a modality that we follow for cutting boards. But for some reason, we're not able to cut those boards fast enough in our mill. Does that mean we need to double the size of the mill? We need to put on a second sawyer? Does it mean that we need to change something? All right, now, somebody comes along and says, "Okay, now, Mr. Gordon, I have an idea. And I'd like to tell you what my idea is." And I say, "Get out of here. We don't want any unproven remedies." You know, anybody would say, "Well, Gordon, you're stupid. You got your mind, you know, in a vacuum." And yet, here we are, and there's the American Cancer Society says, "Well, these are unproven remedies." Now, we don't know whether this Dr. Cecil Pittard has a cure to cancer with his detoxification or cleansing itself. Remember, he experimented himself with an anti-flu bacterial antigen, steffage lysate, and sodium butyrate. Sodium butyrate is a fatty acid food found in milk and butter. Don't you think that somebody ought to say, gee, that's interesting. Let's experiment on it and find out. Let's take some rats, shoot them up with cancer, and then let's try this Dr. Pittard's remedy and see if it works, rather than to just discard it. You see, when they discard something like that, it sends us all a signal, doesn't it? Obviously, it works. They wouldn't want to disparage it. Laetril works, or they wouldn't be talking against it. So now the question arises, well, why would they want to be talking against it? Why would they want to be thwarting these cancer cures? And we've just discussed it. It's a $500 billion a year industry. Hell, if we had a cure for cancer, we'd lose $500 billion a year. Look at all the drugs that are sold for cancer. Look at all the operations that are done for cancer, all the chemotherapy. You know. Hell, we don't want a cure for cancer. Well, at least those that are in control of it don't want it. Come on, let's know it's time for us to wake up and smell coffee here. All right, so that's number one. Now, this is 14 cancer cures. Now, I didn't write that one down. That's not on my list. I've got a list here for cancer cures, but that's not on my list. And that's totally experimental, and I don't doubt it. But shouldn't the American Cancer Society be experimenting with these kinds of reports that come in? And probably there's 100 of those. I've heard of 20 or 30. I've always discounted them because they don't have any trial record, and there isn't anything done with them. It isn't like ESIAC. ESIAC has been tried and proven for hundreds of years. It kills cancer, and it removes the tumors from your bodies. It was discovered by the Ojibwe Indians in Canada hundreds of years ago, long before the white man came to Canada. The Indians up there were treating cancer and doing it successfully, and it was a white woman up there, Renee Cassie, who discovered it from another woman who had learned it from the Indians. And then when she brought it out and tried to give it away, she wasn't even trying to sell it. She tried to give it. She went to the Parliament. She went to the Canadian Medical Association, or whatever you call it up there in Canada, back in 1937, said, hey, look at this cancer cure here. And they voted it out. Parliament voted it down. Now, you'd think that, let's just take the people who are terminal, that the allopathic medical doctors cannot cure. ESIAC would cure them. When you have terminal cancer and they say, well, there's nothing more we can do for you, Renee Cassie with ESIAC could cure them. They said, absolutely not. That's an unproven remedy, and we're not going to tolerate it. And we're not going to prove it either. We're just going to vote it down. So that's what happened up in Canada. Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and you can download that free General Law CD package. And if you don't get it on georgegordon.org, go to georgegordon.com. Somebody told me the other day it was on C-O-M. C-O-M. All right, now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing a chapter in the book called Murder by Injection. It's called The Prophets of Cancer. It's about 70 pages. And the author is Eustace Mullins, E-U-S-T-A-C-E, Mullins, Murder by Injection, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America. And to get a copy to short-circuit the supply. You won't find it in your local public library, and that's because it's been banned, censored. See, we have censorship here in the United States. If there's a book or there's a publication like the Bible, for instance, it has been banned from our public schools. Now, you can have all kinds of filth and perversion in your public school, but you cannot have the Bible. Okay, there's an example. And there's talk about banning the Bible here in America totally because it's a book of blood and gore, and it's filled with hate and hate crimes. Yeah, that's right. The creator of the universe is branded, you know, as a racist and as a hate monger, a bloody fellow. And as a result of that, they want to ban it. Well, you know, the ACLU and a whole host and plethora of other left-wing liberal think tanks and groups and organizations. Anybody who is condemned by the terms and conditions of the laws of the Scripture hate it. I mean, let's just be realistic. Well, Mullins is in that same illustrious group as the Bible and other right-wing publications, you know, like the Protocols of the Learned Elders and things like that. You people aren't supposed to read that kind of propaganda. And Mullins is right in there with him. At least with this book, he is. So if you want a copy of it, if you'll go to bravenewbookstore.com, they'll get it for you. They'll have it. And they're in Austin, Texas. Their phone number is 512-480-2503. 512-480-2503. Now, if you're asking, well, am I promoting this book? I am. I am. And I think every American should read it. It probably wouldn't change very many people's opinion concerning vaccination or concerning the medical establishment, but at that point in time, my job would be done. You've been warned. Hey, you've been told. My dad used to use that term quite often. He said, you knew. You were told. Now pull your pants down. That was like a death sentence. Now pull your pants down. Oh, my God. Then he'd whip off his belt, and then that belt on my bare skin, it didn't feel good at all. But he was right. You see, I knew. And it was a little different, you know. Well, you didn't know. He'd let me off the hook. Well, you didn't know. That's once. Don't ever do it again. Same thing's true here, you know. You can plead ignorance, you know, that it works. Ignorance is a good excuse. Once. What are you going to say the second time? All right, now let's take a look here at another guy over here. Number two. Dr. Ralph Moss. Now notice that these are doctors. I want to point out these cures here. This is Dr. Cecil Pittard, medical doctor. Here's a second cure, Dr. Ralph Moss. I told you the other day, I said, most of these cures for cancer come from the allopathic medical doctors. I mean, the guys aren't dumb. Allopathic medicine, if you'd take off the government bureaucracy and the monopolists over here, hell, it might actually accomplish something good for society, for humanity. They've done a lot of good. I'm not knocking the medical doctors over there. Hell, you boys have done a hell of a job. There's nobody that can save your life better than the trauma center or the ER of a major hospital when you've been shot in the chest. Look at President Reagan. I mean, this guy shot him through the lung. They rushed him to the hospital and saved his life. Without that, he was dead. Dead. That's a fatal wound. So there's a lot to be said. You know, chelation was discovered by medicine, you know, common, ordinary, everyday garden variety medicine. You know, the reason that it's banned, the reason that it's not used, is because you get $100,000 for bypass surgery, and you get about $1,000 or $1,500 for chelation. Now, come on. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar, you know, to figure this out. Would you rather, as a medical doctor, get paid $100,000 for doing this bypass surgery, or $1,500 for doing the same thing and doing it naturally without invasive surgery? All right, it's just money. It's nothing personal here. So anyway, this is Dr. Ralph Moss, had been fired from Sloan Kettering for revealing the positive results of Laetrile experiments. He made public the fact that the Institute was sitting on many other results of successful treatments of cancer, including more than 1,000 positive cases of response to the Cooley treatment since 1906. Moss reported that Dr. James Ewing, Cooley's nemesis and arch rival, turned Memorial Hospital into a medical branch of the Radium Trust. Dr. William E. Koch, professor of physiology at Detroit Medical College and the University of Michigan, presaged free radical pathology treatment with the development of glyoxylide, which stimulated the body to oxidate toxins. Although his treatment was never scientifically refuted, Koch, who began oxidation studies in 1915 and used his treatment since 1918, was persecuted for 16 years by the medical monopoly. He was finally driven out of the country and died in Brazil in 1967. The FDA had started to harass him in 1920. The Wayne County Medical Society formed a cancer committee of doctors in 1923 who condemned Koch's treatment. His stimulation of cell oxidation treatment is by carefully planned diet, which cleansed the system. And yet, this proven treatment is still denounced today by the cancer profiteers as quackery. Koch tried to continue his work in Mexico and Brazil, but the FDA refused to abandon their pursuit. He was prosecuted in 1942 and in 1946. The Food and Drug Administration finally obtained a permanent injunction against the Koch treatment in 1950. Several physicians who had successfully treated cancer with the Koch treatment were expelled from the medical society, and it was still allowable to kill a patient, but it was unforgivable to cure him. Okay, so there's two, right? Both done, both discovered by medical doctors. Here's a third one. Dr. Max Gerson. Oh, my God. Here's three cancer cures and three medical doctors. And I've now the Gerson treatment I have here on my list of 14. My wife uses the Gerson coffee enema program. She's been doing that successfully now for 30 years. I'd say it works. Well, at least it worked in her case. And, you know, hey, listen, if you're a medico, terrific, terrific. Why don't you take the Gerson program and run it through your test facilities in these multi-billion dollar institutions and do a definitive study and work on it. And then let's do a double blind test. Let's just take 100 people that have cancer, okay? Just 100 people that have cancer. Before you've cut out their lymph system so that their immune system's totally impaired. And take 50 of them, then you run them through the cut, burn, and poison program. And take 50 of them and put them on the Max Gerson program. And then just follow those people for 5 years. That's your cure rate, isn't it? 5 years. Start this year, 2009, okay, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. About this time in the year 2014, we'll be ready for the test results. Then let's take a look at how many people have had total remission of their cancer, how many people are still alive, how many people have died, how many people still have it, and let's publish the results. So simple that is. And then people, just like you and me, we can just sit there and say, well, now, which would you rather do? You know, I don't have to come on here and persuade you people that you ought to go with the Gerson program. I'm just suggesting, hey, then after you see the results and make a choice. Hell, anybody is going to make the choice in their own self-interest. It's as simple as this. I mean, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. Hell, you don't have to be real smart. Hell, if your IQ is above 80, you'd be able to do that. Now, listen to this. Here's another independent physician. Dr. Max Gerson discovered that a vegetarian diet with raw fruits and vegetables, no salt, cured migraine and lupus. He continued his studies until he found that detoxification of the body could cure cancer. In 1958, he published his findings in his book, A Cancer Therapy, emphasizing a low-fat diet, no salt, and a minimum of protein. Same thing you get out of the Bible. I just wanted to throw that one in. You know, you shall eat no manner of fat, low-fat diet. Now, a lot of people come down with this thing of vegetarianism. Now, vegetarianism is not espoused by the scriptures. Your Creator did not tell you to be a vegetarian. In fact, the scripture tells you very plainly in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that vegetarianism is a doctrine of devils. Comes from Satan, the devil. But the excessive amount of protein that we eat. I was at the Outback Steakhouse the other day. My God, when they serve you a steak, I mean, those people are marketers. I mean, they're serving you a big chunk of meat. You only need about 3 ounces of meat a day, 3 ounces a day. And they give you about 12 to 16, 20 ounces, something like that. And then, of course, we sit there and we chow down and we eat the whole thing, don't we? And then we get constipated and plugged up, and then we wonder why, you know, wonder why we get cancer. We got some pretty poor dietary habits. Now, let's suppose that you want to eat that way, and that's fine. Now, one day, you're not feeling so good. You go to the doctor and says, hey, you got cancer, Bob. Okay. Then, shouldn't that tell us, okay, now we need to stay away from the Outback. Okay? Stay away from that excessive meat and fat and so on. And maybe we should go on a vegetarian diet for a while, you know, and let's see if we can't clear our system out and get this immune system back to functioning and throw the cancer out. Now, A Cancer Therapy emphasized this low-fat diet, no salt, and a minimum of protein. In 1964, he was invited to testify before a Senate subcommittee, which produced a 227-page report. It's in document number 89471. It's Senate document 89471, if you'd like to get a copy of that. Again, that's Senate document 89471. The copies of this report were never distributed by the Senate. It received no coverage in medical journals, and Dr. Gerson never received 1 cent from any charitable organization, such as the American Cancer Society, to either prove or disprove his findings, even though these groups claimed they were researching They were looking for a cure to cancer. Now, here again, don't you think that these cancer research institutes should fund a study? Now, my common sense says, hell yes. But, you know, common sense says, well, hell no. We don't want that out there in the marketplace. The hell do we want a therapy or a cure to cancer? Now, my wife's been using it for 30 years. She was diagnosed. She was told that she had 3 months to live. And so she said, well, if I've only got 3 months to live, and they said, well, we could probably lengthen your life out to, 18 months, maybe a little longer. For $100,000, and she said, you know, my family, after I'm dead, you know, the burial expenses and the, you know, the medical expenses, and all, they could probably use that $100,000 more than you doctors could, because I'm going to die anyway. So all we're talking about is, am I going to die in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months or a year and a half from now? But the answer is you're going to die. So she said, well, I'll keep the $100,000. And so in the process, she discovered this Max Gerson therapy over here. She tried it, and it worked. And so here she is 30 years later. She's still here. Now, she did not go through cut, burn, and poison. She did not impair her immune system. Now, for those of you that have already gone through the cut, burn, and poison program, you know, I think it's too late for you. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but once you have cut off your breasts, ladies, and they have done a radical mastectomy by taking out all of your lymph system under your armpits, what in the hell is left for your body to fight? I mean, you know, God, your creator, built your body with a lymph system as a part of an immunity process to ward off that cancer. And so the medical doctors come along and say, hey, let's cut it all out. Throw it away. Now, their program doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work 63% of the time that we know of. And the other 37% of the time, it's only going to work for you for 5 years. So, you know, just chalk it up. Now, my wife's been around for 30 years. We hope she dies of old age. Here's number four. Another famous case was that of Harry Hoxsey. Harry Hoxsey, H-O-X-S-E-Y, who used a herbal treatment based upon Indian remedies for cancer for 35 years in a well-published court battle. Hoxsey won a libel suit against Morris Fishbein. The good doctor was forced to admit under cross-examination that he, the most famous doctor in the United States, had never practiced medicine one day of his life. Now, this guy, Morris Fishbein, never practiced medicine a day in his life, and he was the head of the AMA. Huh? But Harry Hoxsey over here, who used an herbal treatment. Now, this guy's not a medical doctor. He's just plain Harry. He came up with an herbal treatment. This is called Indian Black Salve. Indian Black Salve, and it contains bloodroot. Now, I've used that Indian black salve myself. I had two cancers, one on my jaw, about the size of a quarter. It took us three times. You don't want to kill a cancer tumor too fast. It'll kill you. See, here's what your problem is. When you kill that tumor, your body has to dispose of the waste material. So if you kill the tumor, now your body has to dispose of the waste. It plugs up your liver and you die from liver failure or kidney failure or something else. So the trick to this is that you want to kill it slow and easy. So the one on my jaw was so big, my wife said, you know, I'm afraid to kill that thing. If you put that Indian black salve on it, it'll kill it. I mean, it's dead. D-E-D, dead. So she said, I'm just going to put it on the edge of it. And it killed the edge of it, didn't kill the whole tumor. And it's a process you go through. I'm not going to describe it. That's not the point of this program. I just wanted to point out that this guy, Harry Hoxsey, he didn't discover this Indian black salve. He got it from the Indians. Hell, the Indians had it. Just like Essiac was discovered by the Native American Indians in Canada, This Indian black salve, I understand, comes from the Indians. I don't know who now, but the Indians in Wyoming. So, you know, we Europeans over here are practicing voodoo medicine. And the people that actually have cures over here are two Indian tribes. And then we take a look at these two Indian tribes and we say, these guys are a bunch of nomads and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. We're not going to even experiment with their remedies over here, even though they've been using them for hundreds of years. This guy, Harry Hoxie, comes along, just like Rene Cassie did, and said, hey, maybe this thing will work. And then they went out, you know, like virgins in Hollywood, and said, hey, let's explain this to the American Medical Association. Let's explain this to the American Cancer Society. Let's take this to the politicians, and let's put this out here for all the people of Canada and America and all the people of the world. And the medical establishment says, hell no, we won't go. Now, that's what the bottom line to that is. All right, so now Harry Hoxie, now, I've got him on my list of 14. It's called the Indian Black Salve. It's also known as Cansema. And about a week ago, a guy called me from Canada, I believe it was, and he said, hey, listen, we've got that Essiac up here in Canada. Well, hey, we've got that Essiac down here in the States, but the Essiac formula that you're buying in the drugstore across the counter over here doesn't have the bloodroot in it. Bloodroot. It's one of the herbs. See, bloodroot is the herb that kills the tumor. The other herbs that are in the remedy dispose of the toxic waste. That's the trick, is disposing of the toxic waste. Now, my wife had cancer, and she lived off of her greenhouse. She was on six almonds a day and wheatgrass. That's the Ann Wigmore program, wheatgrass. With her immune system intact, she lived out of a greenhouse here for 2 years and 8 months. 2 years and 8 months. It's 24, 32 months. And it went away. Now, she's on a cancer regimen or maintenance therapy. It has been for 30 years. She uses the Gerson maintenance therapy. Now, over the years, my wife and I have watched a number of you people die. We've actually watched that, and it's kind of disheartening to watch somebody die. You tell them, okay, now this is what I do, and it isn't like we're coming to you and saying, here's what you need to do to cure your cancer, because that's prescribing. See, what our approach is that, well, here's what my wife has done for the last 30 years, and it's worked well for her. You would think that you cancer people out there would say, wow, here's a living testimony. I mean, here's a woman that's actually walked the walk. This is the woman who actually is wearing the moccasins. And we're absolutely amazed at how many people, oh, no, I'm going to the medical doctors, and then they go through the cut, burn, and point. They go through what they know is a proven failure. And remember when I started this dialogue in this program, I said the reason for that is the brainwashing and the propaganda. We Americans have been subjected to the Cancer Society's propaganda lies for so long, we believe as an article of faith in allopathic medicine's cut, burn, and poison. It's the only thing we know. It's the only thing we will allow into our minds. It doesn't work, but we believe that it will in our case. All right, I'm out of time. I got to remind you here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact discs, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, there's the signal that says our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.